Your Bibles and turn to the Epistle of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. I feel like the Lord has really deviated me from Romans. It's where we've been. And I don't feel like the Lord's really given me anything else other than just where we're at, just going through His Word. Amen. And I thank God for the Word of God, don't you? And I thank God for being able to preach it and just letting it be what it is, letting the Bible be the Bible, and let it be God's Word. Romans chapter 8. I love preaching through verses or through books. The next passage is just the next passage. Amen. And I like it that way because it's just the way God said it. And so, Romans chapter 8, if you'll stand to your feet, we will reverence the reading of the Word of God, the holy, divine Word of God. Amen. It is holy. Romans chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll get up to speed and then give you the message this morning. Romans 8, verse 1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the, or if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace once again this morning, and I thank you for how you've blessed us, and Lord, how you've stirred our hearts and our minds, Lord, regarding Lord our mothers and your blessings in that. Lord, thank you for, Lord, everything that's been done this morning so far, Lord, for the good singing that's been done, the praying, Lord, for the giving that's been done. And Lord, I just thank you for another day, another Lord's day, Lord, to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to be faithful. Lord, you'd give us the grace, Lord, to be faithful to your house till you come. Help us to continue to stand for you till you come. Lord, knowing that you could come before this service is even over. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, and Lord, you'd speak to us. Father, I pray for that lost soul that'd be amongst us this morning, Lord, that you would work in that heart, your Spirit, Lord, would put them under deep conviction. Lord, you would thoroughly convince them of their lost condition. Help them, Lord, to embrace themselves as the lost sinner they are, that they'd cry out to Jesus for mercy, that, Lord, they would repent and believe the gospel. And today would be the day of salvation. Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray that you would teach us your Word. Lord, I pray that you would draw us close to yourself. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be and to receive from heaven what you would have us to receive. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Been preaching through this chapter, really through the book of Romans, but as we've gotten to this chapter, kind of been looking the past several messages on this thought of, oh, what a difference. And, we, of course, again, we sing that song, "Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by." And I thank God for the difference that He made in my life whenever He passed by my way, aren't you? And thank God that He will turn your life around. You know, I feel so sorry for people that are trying to do things on their own, and they realize they need something, they realize they're lacking something, they realize they just don't have something in their life, and yet they're still continually trying to fix all the problems on their own. When if they would just turn to Jesus, He would change their life. He'd make a difference. Jesus makes a difference. Amen? And I thank God for the difference He does make, and thank God for the difference that the gospel makes in our lives. And now, if you remember, whenever I said once or twice that the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. Well, the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. Okay, so if you don't remember me saying that there, I said it. That's the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. It is the Bible gospel. If you need to know what the gospel really is, read the book of Romans. It will outline the doctrine of the gospel. And this is as important today as it has ever been, because there are so many other gospels. Just like Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 1, there is another gospel. Amen? And there's a lot of folks that have a gospel, but it's another gospel. And they've got Jesus, but it's just a different Jesus. And they've got the Spirit, but it's just a different Spirit. Amen? Because it hasn't produced in their life what the Bible says in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit will produce in their life. And it hasn't produced in their life what the book of Romans says the gospel will produce in their life. And it's not producing in their life what the book of Romans says Jesus, the Bible Jesus, the Jesus, will produce in their life. And so they've got Jesus. They've got the Spirit. They've got the gospel. They've got the Bible. They've got all these things, but it's another gospel. It's another Bible. It's another Jesus, because it isn't putting in their life and isn't doing in them what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that the gospel would do in them. Amen? And so I don't know about you, but I thank God for the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Amen? I'm thankful that it just still says exactly what God wanted it to say. Amen? Whenever we read the King James Bible, we're reading the very words of Almighty God. Amen? And thank God it hasn't changed with the times, and it hasn't changed with society, and it hasn't changed with the days. Thank God that it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. And if you need to know direction in life, if you need a lamp under your feet and a light under your path, if you need direction to God, if you need to find your way to salvation, if you need to find your way to heaven, all you got to do is pick up the King James Bible and God will show you the way. Amen? I say praise God for the Word of God. We still have the Bible. We still have God's Word. And we can still find our way to the old-fashioned gospel. Amen? And that's what people need today. They just need a good old-fashioned dose of Holy Ghost salvation from the gospel in the Bible. Amen? And so we've been looking at the theme of the gospel and what the gospel is. Romans, arguably one of the most important books in the Bible. And Romans chapter 8, arguably one of the most important chapters in Romans. And so it's been said that the Bible is like a beautiful ring or a beautiful crown. And if it were, the epistle of Romans would be the diamond of that ring or the diamond of that jewel. And if that's the case, then I would say that Romans chapter 8 is the glisten of that diamond. Boy, what a chapter, and what doctrine is in Romans chapter 8. So far as we've gone through here, what you find in the first four verses of Romans chapter 8, we find that the gospel has delivered us. Amen? He said in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so, the gospel delivers a man from the sentence of sin. Man is condemned to die, condemned to an eternity in hell because of his sin. Amen? And yet the gospel, the Bible gospel, delivers him from that condemnation. And the sentence that should be paid by us, God laid on His darling Son when He put Him on the cross. Amen? And so if we will, with repentance and faith, turn to Christ, the sentence of sin has been paid, and we are delivered from that condemnation. Amen? We've also been delivered from the slavery of sin. Verse number 2, he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen? Listen, there's not one thing that a man can do to break free from the slavery of sin. Amen? As the dog returns to its vomit, and as the fowl returns to the waller and the mire, so does the drunkard return to the drinking. And so does the thief return to the stealing. And so does the liar return to the lying. And so does all the other sins that a man would commit. He always returns back to them. Amen? Because he is enslaved to that sin. And by the way, we're always a slave to somebody or something. Amen? You're never doing what you want to do. You're never going your own way. You're never making your own decisions. You are either a slave and a servant to the world and the flesh and the devil, and your flesh is calling the shots, and the devil's calling the shots, and this world system's calling the shots in your life, or you're following after Jesus. Amen? And one of them is a good master, and one of them is a hard master. Amen? I tell you something. I always think about that Old Testament story about that servant that got his ear pierced through with an awl. Amen? And that Old Testament law where if a man had a master, and if that master had given him a wife and children and a house and lands and food and money and all those things, listen, he was a servant, he was a slave, but after so much time, he could go his own way. He could depart. He could leave. But if he was to look around and see his wife and see his children, he's going to have to leave all that behind if he left the master. And he could make up his mind, I'm going to stay with the master. Amen? I tell you, nothing's been better to me than Jesus. Amen? Hey, old fella wrote that song, there ain't nothing better than Jesus. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you've got a wife, listen, saved or lost, if you've got a good family, God gave you that. If you're driving a good car, God gave you that. You're breathing His air and drinking His water and eating His food. Amen? You're living in His house and working His job and enjoying the health that He has given you. Amen? Everything we've got has come from God. Hallelujah. And I thank God that since I've been born again, walking the old time way and living for God, the blessings far outweigh the cursings. And I can look back and say I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Amen? And my worst day serving God is far better than my best day living for the world. Amen? I tell you, He's been a good master. And I thank God He lets me serve Him. I say like David, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Amen? Than anything else in this world if He just let me serve Him a little while. Amen? I tell you, He's been so good. He's blessed us and poured into us. Every other religion in this world is sacrificing to their God and giving to their God to appease their wrath and stay on their good side. And yet, you look at our God and He's poured into us and He's blessed us and He's given to us. Amen? What a God, friend! Let me tell you something. The world won't treat you that way. And your flesh won't treat you that way. And the devil won't treat you that way. Listen, he'll use you up. This world will use you up and leave you high and dry. Amen? The devil is such a deceiver. He'll make it seem like you're living the high life out there when you'll wind up being a low life out there. Amen? I tell you, the devil will show you the parties and he'll show you one side of the billboard where everybody's having a good time and enjoying their life and it's all wine, women, and song. But he doesn't show you the other side, friend, where you died on Skid Row without even a dime in a pocket or a change of clothes. He won't show you the man that's lost his family because he's a drunk. He won't show you the woman that's lost her kids because she's hooked on meth. He won't show you the families that are torn apart. He won't show you the jobs lost and the families lost and the things. He won't show you all the loss, friend. He's not a good master. This world's not a good master. Your flesh is not a good master. Amen? Listen, Disney's been telling kids for years now to follow your heart and listen to your heart. That's the worst thing you ever do in life. Your flesh will deceive you. Amen? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know how wicked your heart is according to the Bible. Amen? And I'm telling you, the worst thing you could ever do is listen to your heart. Amen? I tell you what you ought to listen to is the Word of God. Amen? Because your heart will use you up and lead you down the path to destruction and get you so messed up you won't be able to know which way is up, friend. Amen? But thank God He has delivered us from the slavery of sin whenever we get born again. Hallelujah. I'm not what I ought to be. Amen. And I'm not what I'm going to be. But hallelujah, I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Oh, thank God for deliverance from sin. Amen. By the way, it is deliverance from sin. The Bible gospel delivers from sin, not from hell. and not from problems and not from troubles and not from trials and not from unpaid bills. Amen. The gospel doesn't deliver you from flat tires. It doesn't deliver you from your washer going out. Amen. It doesn't deliver you from being broke down the side of the road. It doesn't deliver you from losing your job. It doesn't deliver you from all your marital problems. Amen. It doesn't deliver you from the gospel delivers from sin. Amen. But once you get delivered from sin, it'll sure deliver you from a lot of them other things too. Amen. Listen, being delivered from sin is the reason you're delivered from hell, but hell is just a byproduct. Amen. You'll never, by the grace of God, hear me stand up before an audience of people and say, listen, if you want to go to heaven when you die, and if you want to not go to hell when you die, come forward and we'll show you. You know, you can repeat this prayer and you can miss hell and go to heaven. Because that is not what the gospel's about. The hell is one reason to get saved, one of many, but listen, hell's the byproduct. Heaven's the byproduct. Amen. Nobody gets saved whenever they don't want to go to hell. Nobody gets saved when they want to go to heaven when they die, because anybody with a real view of either one wants to go to one and don't want to go to the other. But that never saved anybody. I tell you, when somebody gets born again, according to the Bible, it's when they get ready to deal with their sin. Amen. Because sin is our problem. And sin is what hung Jesus on the cross. Amen. And sin is what He came to pay for. Amen. That is the debt that we owe. It is the debt of sin that must be paid. Amen. It is our wickedness. It's the blackness of our heart. It's every lie we ever told and everything we ever stole. It's the fornication and the adultery and the drunkenness and the drugs and all those things. It's every idol that we have in our life that comes before Jesus. Amen. It's all the sin and wickedness of humanity. That is what the gospel deals with. We are delivered from sin, friend, and we're delivered from the slavery of sin, the sentence of sin. Amen. But then, not only are we delivered, but we also have found in this chapter that we are also not just delivered, but there's a difference that takes place. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Amen. All the things that were making me miserable, I don't even long for those things anymore. Amen. Yes, I still battle with the flesh, just like he talked about in Romans chapter 7. You go back and you see the battle with the flesh and the man of the spirit that goes on in the life of every saved person. And we all battle with that. But friend, the things that were wrecking my life and the things that I couldn't get away from, the things that I wanted to quit and couldn't turn loose of, Jesus came on the inside and the Holy Spirit indwelt me the night I got born again. And my life has never been the same since. Amen. I wonder, can you say that this morning? Can you say that there's really been a difference made in your life? Well, I'm telling you, the gospel, not my opinion, but what the Bible says, the gospel will make a real difference if somebody's got the Bible gospel. First of all, there's a difference in the mind in verses 5 through 7. He talks about how those that are spiritual mind spiritual things. And those that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. See, the gospel will change the way you think. You can't do that on your own. Amen? Throw the power of positive thinking in the trash. Amen? Listen, because the only power to make you think positive is in the gospel. Amen? The only power that there is to change your way of thinking, your mindset, and your mentality, the gospel is the only thing that can change that in you. It's not book learning, and it's not degrees, and it's not university. I tell you something, the public universities of our day have messed up more good people than it's helped. Amen? Listen, I've seen them take a lot of good young people raised up in the old time way, carrying a King James Bible, and ship them off to some university somewhere. And they come home part of the woke generation, all messed up, amen, believing all this liberalism and socialism, so messed up and warped, amen. I tell you, the universities won't help anybody, and education ain't going to help anybody. The gospel's what's going to help us, amen. I told the men at the jail Tuesday night, listen, you take a fella who's committed a crime and he's a menace to society and you put him in jail somewhere. Listen, this society today says, well, we need to get him an education, and get him a good job, get him out of poverty. And that's what will help him. That's what will, you know, really change him and fix him all up. And I told the men at the jail, you do that and what you'll do is you'll take an uneducated convict, you'll put him in jail, he'll come out an educated convict, but he'll still be a convict. Amen? He'll still be a lawbreaker. Amen. He'll still go the way of the world. He'll still, listen, the car thief will still be stealing cars. A drug addict still be dealing drugs. Amen. If they don't get saved, they will be. Amen. You've got to be born again. Jesus changes your mind. Try to explain the Bible to people and they say, well, I just don't see it that way. I have no doubt about that. And I'm not being funny. It's just the reality of it. You try to show somebody, listen, there is a difference in what the King James Bible says right here and what that NIV says. That's it. Well, I just don't see it. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt they don't see it. Because lost people can't see the things of God. Their mind is perverted. Their mind is depraved. Their mind is dead in trespasses and sins. But the gospel enlightens their mind. It quickens the mind. Amen? You no longer mind earthly things. You mind heavenly things. Isn't that right? That's just what he said right there. I didn't say it. God did. And so there's a difference in the mind. Then verses 8 and 9, there's a difference in the motives. He changes how we are driven. It doesn't just change how we think. He changes how we're driven. What drives us. Look at what he says in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's talking about those in the flesh with a fleshly mind and fleshly motives. They cannot please God because it's the flesh that drives them. That's what motivates them. Amen. A lot of people are in church this morning dressed up with their church costume on. That's all it is. It's a costume. They don't put their church clothes on. They put their church costume on. Amen. It's a costume there they wear once or twice a week. Because they're a fake. They're a phony. They're a hypocrite. Amen. By the way, let's just level this out. A hypocrite is not someone who's trying to live for God and fails. A hypocrite is someone who never intends to be what they pretend to be. And there's a lot of people in churches all over this morning because it's Mother's Day. And it's, you know, one of the few times a year they'll go to church to be with their mama, you know. Everybody all right? And they do not intend to be what they're pretending to be in church this morning. And it's not meriting them one thing in eternity. The fact that they're in church, the fact that they got their church clothes on, the fact that they're, you know, whatever, it does not merit them one thing. And I'll tell you why. Because they're doing it with the wrong motive. Down, they're dressed up on the outside. They're a whited sepulcher on the outside. But they're full of dead men's bones on the inside. And the Spirit loving God and the Spirit of God indwelling them and doing it because they love God and doing it because God's been so good to them, they've been saved, and the Spirit of God is driving them and motivating them to live this life. That's not what motivates. Instead, they're driven by the flesh. Ultimately, it comes right back around to how is this good for me? How is this going to look for me? So that's the difference in the saved and the lost. Saved people do live their life based on I'm doing this because I love the Lord. Lost people who mind the flesh, they live their life based on how does this touch me? How is this good or bad for me? See, it's the difference in motivations. The gospel changes our motives. Number three, and this is what we're going to be dealing with this morning. I ain't even started preaching yet. Y'all glad? Y'all ready to get some more? I ain't even started. That's just the introduction. I'm going to give you this real quick. The differences in our mind. The gospel makes a difference in our motives. Number three, the gospel makes a difference in the members. That is our members, our hands and our feet. See, there's kind of a progression here. The gospel makes a difference, but it makes a difference in the mind first. And the mind, that the difference that's made in our mind then affects the difference in our motives. Amen? And then the difference in the mind and the motives then affects our members. Amen? See, the other gospel's got it flipped upside. Religion will flip it upside down. It fixes up the members first and dresses up the outside first and tries to get people doing right first. You know, they'll hypnotize people and do all this stuff to get them doing right on the outside, hoping that what they're doing on the outside will work its way to the inside and get down in their heart. But that's backwards. That's the devil's gospel. Amen? God's gospel starts in the heart. Amen? And it works itself out. You can't help, you cannot hide God when God gets in somebody's heart. Amen? He will work himself out. Listen, the way you know you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside is if you want to be holy. Amen? If you don't want to be holy, you're lacking the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, it will change our members because our mind and our motives have been changed. Now these verses here, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, they go on to tell us that He changes how we act. Not just how we think and not what motivates us, but actually that works out to how we actually act and live our lives on the outside. The changes that happen on the inside will make their way out. Amen? And so let me give you three things in these verses that make a change in our life. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Amen? First of all, it makes a change in our members. A change in our members. Verses 10 and 11, he said, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." Nobody gets saved until they die first. You have to die first. Die. That's what they're talking about, dying to self. Dying to the old man. The old flesh has got to die. Be fully slain and put in the grave. Amen? Before you ever get saved. Amen? Listen, one sin still living in your heart will keep you out. One. Well, I thought Jesus was gracious and merciful. He is. That's why He made a way to salvation. But He slays every ounce of rebellion in the heart of a man before He ever saves him. Amen? Amen. So, well, I don't believe that. Well, what are you going to do with the rich young ruler? Jesus said, "Yet lackest thou one thing." And that's what kept him out. One thing. He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. That's capital S Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life then. So the old man has died. But what's living now is the Spirit. That's what the Bible said. The Spirit is the one living. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That is, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the only thing making the body of a saved person live and walk and talk and breathe and go throughout life, the what's doing that is the Spirit of God. Amen. When Adam was formed out of the dirt of the ground, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and it became a living soul. That breath of life was the Spirit of God. Right? And then when Adam sinned against God, he died immediately where? In his spirit. He died eventually in his body. But he died immediately in his spirit. You know why he died immediately in his spirit? Because the Spirit of God departed from his mortal body. Amen. Because the Spirit of God cannot dwell where sin dwells. And so when sin came in, the spirit of sin came in, the Spirit of God moved out. Had to. Because of His holiness. Because He is righteous. Amen? And so the Spirit of God moved out. Spirit of sin moved in. Well, Bernice talked about this morning. We have got more in Jesus than Adam ever had in that perfect life he was in. Amen? Thank God we gained more than we got in Jesus than we lost in Adam. Because now, on this side of things, whenever you and I get born again by the good grace of God, that's why I feel so sorry for people. Because if they'll just repent and believe the gospel, man, they don't know what they're missing, buddy. Amen? Now, on this side of things, the Spirit of Adam has moved out and the Spirit of God has moved back in. And so when you get saved, you walk and talk and breathe and live in the Spirit. Capital S, Spirit. He's the one that has quickened and made the body alive. Amen. That's why there's nothing to this carnal Christianity thing. That's another gospel. It's another gospel. And that's not my opinion. That's just what the Bible says. The monstrosity of the carnal Christian. Christians can get a little carnal from time to time or do something that is carnal or think a carnal thought, but living a carnal life, you're either carnal or you're a Christian, but you're not both. You're one or the other. They mix like oil and water. Amen. That's why you need to say, as far from anything that blends the world and the things of God together. Amen? Amen? blends them together. Because you can't mix light and darkness. You can't mix righteousness with Belial. You can't. They do not mix. They don't go together. Because the Spirit of God is what makes us alive when we get saved. And so what these verses teach is that when the Spirit moves into our life, He produces change. You know what He produces? The fruit of the Spirit. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit has got nothing to do with your spirit. It's got to do with His Spirit. If He's on the inside, He produces those things. You can't work up love. You can't work up real joy. You can't work up peace. That's what the world's longing for now, is real peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all that stuff. You can't work that stuff in your flesh. That's the fruit of the Spirit, His Spirit. And when He's on the inside, He will produce those things. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of it will happen. Amen. Now, anyone claiming Jesus yet manifesting no change in their life, they're lost. If you're claiming Jesus this morning, you say, oh, I'm saved, I love Jesus, but there's no change in your life. You have no motive to live for God. You have not the mind to live for God. You're not interested in the things of God. You're not interested in the old time way. You're not interested in the Bible. You're not interested in the prayer clause. You're not interested in doing anything for God. You're lost. You're lost. I'm here to warn you this morning. You are deceived. The devil's giving you a counterfeit. You're going to kiss the door of heaven and open your eyes in hell, just like Judas did. If you're not careful, you'll live out your days of grace. You'll live out this time of mercy, and you'll die lost without God, because the devil has deceived you, friend. The Bible gospel will make a difference in your life. Be warned, friend. See, that in itself, claiming Jesus with no real change, that in itself breaks one of the Ten Commandments. It breaks more than one, but one main one. So it breaks one of the Ten. Which one? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, where God's giving the Ten Commandments. It says this, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." He said, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." That's a lot more than just saying, "Oh my God," as a slang term. That's a lot more than just using God's name as a curse word. That's more than that. That's what we've narrowed it down to, but it's way more than that. To take His name is to take His name upon yourself. To use His name, to apply His name to your life. To take the Lord's name, but you take it in vain. You say, "I believe God, and I live for God, and I love Jesus." This whole ecumenical movement. We're all going to hold hands and go to heaven together. We don't believe in doctrine. We throw out the Bible, throw out standards, throw out air. Just throw it all out. We'll all go to heaven together and live like the world. We'll walk towards hell and act like we're going to heaven when we die. Because we all just, it's just all about Jesus, you know. And there's no change. You can't tell if you're in a nightclub or a rock concert, but they say you're in church. I mean, it's just like the world. Sure. There's no difference. Yeah, man. Amen. Sure. Just like the world. Walk and talk. Live like, we go to the same movies, watch the same stuff, live the same way, the same pattern of life. It's all the same. You could not tell the difference, but they say, "I love God." That is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right. Taking His name, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just lip service. It's like what Jesus said in the Gospels. "This people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So to claim Jesus with no change, it breaks the Ten Commandments. There's nothing in it. See, if salvation is a reality, there will be a new desire to honor God by the life that we live. When and if we fail, there will be a sense of sadness and remorse. You can't continue in sin and feel good about it anymore. You will sin. You may sin. I said when and if, because the Bible never says that lost people, you know, never gave you any premium on sin for a lost person. Show me one, or for a saved person rather. Show me one verse where God said it was okay for a saved person to sin. I mean, we just assume that we will. And thank God we have an advocate with the Father if we do sin. But He said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So when or if we do, listen, the Holy Spirit, who cannot dwell in the presence of sin, will be right there to bring about chastisement and to deal with our heart and to give us a guilty conscience toward sin. Amen? Isn't that right? That's just what the Bible says. And by the way, thank God for it. I never had that when I was lost. Even though I knew sin was wrecking my life, I couldn't quit because I didn't feel bad enough about it. Lost people are upset with the consequences of their sin, not their sin. Right? Conviction will drive the child of God to repentance. That's 1 John 1:9. Will drive them to repentance. What's being taught is the Spirit makes us vastly different than what we are by nature. By nature, we are children of wrath. By nature, we are the enemies of God. The Holy Spirit makes us different. Amen? See, our flesh will flee the things it used to run to. It'll seek the things it used to shun. The Holy Spirit will reproduce the life of Christ in every saved person, every believer. He said in Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Thank God the gospel makes a change in our members. But it also gives a challenge to our members here. Look in verse 12. He said, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now this verse reminds us that we're not obligated to live after the flesh any longer. There's no obligation there. There's no slavery there. In fact, when we're dead to the flesh and dead to sin, we're alive to the Spirit of God. You're always dead to one and alive to the other. Amen? You're either dead to the Spirit of God or you're dead to sin. And whichever one you're dead to, you're alive to the opposite. According to the Bible. So the debt or the obligation that we owe now is not to the world, the flesh, the devil. It's to Christ for the price that He paid for our sin. It's not a debt to merit salvation. It's a debt because He's given us salvation. It's a debt because He's been so good to us, and we love Him because He first loved us. The debt He paid on the cross when He suffered and He died for your sins. So our flesh has done nothing for us but condemn us. Right? Flesh ain't done anything but condemn you. It didn't buy and pay for your sin. And so, therefore, you're not obligated to your flesh. You're obligated to Him because He died and paid for your sin. So the debt we owe is to the Spirit of God. The debt of love and honor and commitment and adoration. Amen. That's the debt we owe. We love Him because He first loved us. That gets back to that motive. I don't serve the Lord to be saved. I serve the Lord because I am saved. Because He's been so good to me. Amen? I don't look at this world now and look at my old life and say, boy, I really miss it back there. They were mighty good to me back there. Oh, no, friend, that life wasn't good to me. Amen? Jesus is the one that's been good to me. Amen? He's the one I feel a debt to now, not the old life. So let us honor Him by living the kind of life that brings honor to Him. And see, the only way you can ever live up to that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that His people can meet that challenge is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a challenge to our members. But then, last of all, number three, there's a caution to our members. Verse number 13, he says, I think I read the wrong verse earlier. Verse 13, he said, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The caution to our members is right here. This is all about Jesus, the gospel, making a difference in our members. And the caution is that even though we're saved, those of us that are saved, even though we're saved, we still have the potential to commit the sins and the acts of the flesh. Not to live in the flesh. Now, some would say we still have the potential to live in the flesh. I don't believe that. I don't believe it because He makes it clear in the earlier part of the chapter that either you're after the flesh, that is following after, pursuing after, or you're after the Spirit, pursuing after the Spirit. And so you can't be after one and the other at the same time. And so if we are saved, we have the potential to commit any sin that we ever committed in the flesh. Now, a lot of people use David as an example. He is an example, but he's not the perfect New Testament example. Because David was a man after God's own heart, arguably one of the most spiritual men in the Bible. I understand all that. But listen, he wasn't indwelt by the Holy Spirit the way you are. That didn't happen till the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He was on Old Testament ground. Matter of fact, everybody was on Old Testament ground up until Acts chapter 2. Even through the book of Acts, till the Bible was completed. Till the Bible was completed. There was the Old Testament ground, and there was that transition period when the Bible was being written with apostles and apostolic gifts and all that. But then when the Bible was completed, we're completely on New Testament ground now. And David's not a perfect picture of New Testament Christianity. Lot's not a perfect picture of New Testament Christianity. People take Lot, you know, well, Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day and seeing and in hearing, you know. And, you know, he was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. God has said he was righteous, you know, and he was saved, but he's so worldly. He was just a carnal Christian. Listen, that's not even the same as New Testament Christian. You don't even find the same. He was not indwelt the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a New Testament local church. He didn't have a pastor. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a lot of what we have now. Amen? And God forbid that anybody on New Testament ground in the day and age of grace would ever do less for God or live more worldly than what some Jew under the law, the Old Testament law, would do in the Old Testament. Amen? Amen? Why would we do less for God under His grace than they would do in the Old Testament under the law? Amen? Y'all with me? So the caution here is that even though we're saved, we can commit any sin. The Bible's clear. We're capable of committing any sin. That's 1 John 1, read verse 8 through 10. However, the caution here is, the warning is that living a substandard Christian life, or living in sin, if you will, continuing in sin, what it brings is death. I take this verse literally. I do not spiritualize this verse. A lot of people do. But I don't spiritualize this verse, and my Rock of Ages study Bible don't spiritualize it either. The note down there at the bottom. Whenever he says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. And I believe what he said is what he meant. Not die spiritually. That'd be losing your salvation. You're going to die physically. See, you can live after the flesh and be lost, or you can live after the flesh and be saved. Or you can live after the flesh and be lost, or live after the Spirit and be saved. But once you're saved, if you start living after the flesh again, it's one thing to commit a sin and to live after the flesh. And the clear message here is that not just committing a sin, but if you've made up your mind, you're going to keep on in that sin. I'm not letting that thing go. This is my sin, this one, and I'm going to continue, and I'm going to live after this. I'm going to let my flesh take it, and I'm going to keep continuing against the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, don't think for a second you're going to live after the flesh when you're saved, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit's not going to be there. The most miserable people on the face of the earth are not lost people living in sin. They're having a time of their life, a lot of them, until the consequences come, until the chickens come home to roost. Amen? Then they get worried about the consequences, but not the sin. They still enjoy the sin. They just don't like the consequences. But a saved person that's got sin in their life and they're going after that sin, they're living after the flesh, that's the most miserable person on the face of the earth. Everything goes wrong in their life. Let me tell you something. I've seen it time and time and time again. Amen. Listen, these people that they're in the old-time way and they're in a good church and they say they love God and then they go the way of the world and their life prospers, I don't shake my head and wonder what's going on there. They're lost. Because the saved people that do that, they don't go out there and prosper. If the Holy Spirit's present, they're miserable. God's working in life. He's bringing about circumstances and bringing things to get them back in His will. Get them where it says, and if they prolong in it long enough, the Bible says they shall die. And I can give you one reason why the majority of what's going on in quote-unquote Christianity today with people proclaiming Christ and yet no difference in them and the world. I can tell you why the majority of it's wrong and the majority of it's false. It's because we're not having enough funerals. If everything out there going on in the world in the name of Jesus was real, and yet as worldly and as sinful as it is, God be killing more than people. That is right. Because He deals with us as with sons. Amen. The old saying that He brought us into this world, He can take us out. He said, if you live out of faith, you shall die. So you can't go to hell, but you can feel the chastisement of the Father. That's Hebrews 12. If you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. If you can go your own way and there's no chastisement, and you're upset, you don't like the consequences, but the sin itself doesn't really bother you, you got the wrong father. Jesus told the Pharisees, they're of their father the devil. So if a Christian persists in disobeying God, he may be called home. 1 John 5:16, there is a sin unto death. But by the Spirit of God, enough, we have the power to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Every person that's saved, they don't have to go after sin. They don't have to continue in sin. They don't have to live a defeated life. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside with the power of the gospel and changes us and makes a difference in us. I tell you this morning, what we need to do is closely examine our lives. Everybody needs to closely examine their life. Take an honest inventory and truly ask the question of yourself, not the person sitting next to you, the person across the aisle, but ask of yourself, have I been changed? Have I been changed? You know, that's what the old timers used to say. They never talked about people getting saved. They'd say, did old so-and-so make a change? Old so-and-so, boy, I tell you, boy, we's down at the revival, and man, God got to move. And old fella, boy, he made a change now. I tell you, God got a hold of him, and boy, he got in that altar, and boy, he's done made a change. Because the gospel does make a change. That's the question. Have I been changed? Not am I perfect, but am I different? I don't think like I used to think. I don't act the same I used to act. I want to honor God with my life. Where I used to want to honor myself, now I want to honor God. I want God to use me. I can see where Jesus has made a difference in my life. That is the question and the examination of the hour. Because the Bible gospel will make a change. And only God can produce real spiritual change in the lives of men. Only God can do that. Only the gospel can do that. If not, you say, well, there's really never been a change. I made a profession. I've been baptized. But there's never really been a change beyond that in my life. The good news is this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus can and will make a difference in your life if you want Him to this morning. We all ought to examine ourselves. And for those of us that are saved, we ought to praise the Lord that He's made a change. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for helping us with Your word this morning. We've tried to obey You, preach the burden of our heart. And I pray that You'd speak to our hearts this morning. I pray for that one among us that may be lost. Lord, that You would do a work of deep conviction in their soul. Lord, I pray that You would bring them to a place of real repentance and faith. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, make the way clear and straight. Lord, we know the devil causes confusion, but Lord, Your Spirit will make it clear. Lord, I pray that You'd help us all to be honest with ourselves and honest with You. Have we ever really had a change in our life? Have we ever really been born again? And Lord, I pray for that one that may be lost, Lord, that You would save him before it's eternally too late this morning, that You would do a real work in their life. For those of us that are saved, I pray that You would continually stir up, Lord, the high call of God in us. Lord, I pray that You would stir up worship and joy and praise for the change that You've made in our lives. Whatever You do this morning, we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.